WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Primary season has been a fertile period for Saturday Night Live's Al Franken.
Senator Simon, why the bow tie?
Pat, my advisors have been begging me for years to get rid of the bow tie. But with Paul Simon, what you see is what you get. And I'm not about to change my bow tie to please some media advisor. And so I wear the bow tie.
Part of developing a caricature is either your caricature determines the joke you write or the joke you're writing determines the caricature. And we're just trying to find something for a joke for each guy.
Al Franken has been coming up with jokes for more than 13 years. Along with his partner, Tom Davis, Franken has worked with NBC's Saturday Night Live on and off since its inception in 1975. He's been a writer, a producer, a performer, and a writer again. This season, at least until the Writers Guild strike, Al Franken has co-written and performed in the show's political lampoons, appearing in the candidates' debates as Pat Robertson and Paul Simon.
And something that really irritated me about Simon was they'd ask him why the bow tie, and he'd always go into this explanation of how it reflects how he is not afraid to be different and all this stuff. And a tie is a tie, you know? So he should say, because I like bow ties, and it has nothing to do with anything else. So that's why the joke was the hook with him. Another phrase that he says a lot are hopes and dreams. Hubert Humphrey, but he says hopes and dreams. If you watch him, he'll talk about the hopes and dreams of the people who voted for him, and he talked about it after the Illinois primary again. So you'll hear hopes and dreams every time you see Paul Simon.
You get this great deliberateness in your voice when you do him.
Well, he is a deliberate guy. I like Paul Simon.
Now, are you rooting for Pat Robertson and Paul Simon so that you can get to caricature them longer as they stay in the race?
No.
You're more serious about politics than that.
Yeah. It'd be nice in a way for my career if Paul Simon won or if Pat Robertson won. But no, I could live without the career boost of Pat Robertson becoming president.
Reverend Robertson, you bristled Monday when Tom Brokaw called you a television evangelist. Why?
Well, Pat, this is a deliberate attempt by the media to belittle me, and I'm just not going to stand for it. I've been so many things besides a religious broadcaster. I'm a businessman. I'm president of the sixth largest cable TV network in the country. I've mowed lawns. I've been a babysitter. I've watched people's homes while they went on vacation. I've been a caddy at a country club, one of the largest country clubs in the state of Virginia. And I think that the media, by ignoring these other positions I've had and focusing on 25-odd years of my hosting an evangelical show, I think it's just unfair, and it's just religious bigotry.
Now, come on now, Pat. That's a load of bunk. You know and I know that you're an old Bible-something revival show con artist from way back, claimed to heal people. I'll tell you something, Pat Robertson. You turn to me and heal my right arm, and I'll be glad to step aside and let you be present.
I've been doing Pat Robertson, or sort of a cross between Pat Robertson and Jim Baker, for about 10 years. Part of being in show business is you get to wake up late. And I used to wake up late and turn on TV, and I'd get the PTL Club and I'd get the 700 Club. So I used to watch them, and one day Jim Baker said something that sort of locked me into his character and also Pat Robertson's character, which is the happy evangelist. Jim Baker said, we had a party last Friday, and when it comes to getting down, nobody gets down like we Christians. And I said, that's a character. Now I do Jim Baker a little. I do everyone like Pat Robertson now because I've been working on my Pat Robertson so much. But Pat Robertson also does a thing because he's always happy. But sometimes he almost sounds like Barney Fife when he gets very happy.
Yeah, you really get this perpetual TV smile in his face and in his voice when you do him.
Yeah, and he gets serious every once in a while. And when he does, sometimes that neck muscle comes down, you know, where that lower lip exposes his bottom teeth, and he sort of shuts his eyes a little bit. It's when he's about to say something serious.
Have you ever met him?
Gee, no, I haven't.
Do you think it's something of a status symbol for politicians to be caricatured on the show?
It depends how people are making fun of you. You know, when Gary Hart started being made fun of in the way he has been, it was sort of the death knell. I mean, one of the death knells for his candidacy. So it depends what they're doing to you.
Well, politicians, I think, like to show that they get the joke and that they have a sense of humor. But for the ones that you've met, have you found that to be true, that they have a sense of humor?
Well, Dole clearly has a sense of humor about most things. And, geez, I doubt Bush does. I don't know. I can't imagine he does. Let's see. You know, I haven't met a lot of these guys. Simon I met because he did the show. Babbitt has a great sense of humor. And he did our show, and he was a great guy.
So you traveled around the primaries?
I traveled to Iowa and New Hampshire just to get a flavor of the campaign. And after that, it scattered for Super Tuesday so much. And now we're on strike. I'm in the Writers Guild. So I'm really not going out on the trail now.
Were there any great moments you can share with us while you were doing your research?
None that I can share with you.
Were you ever recognized when you were in Iowa observing the caucuses there?
Well, yeah, you know, the media people certainly recognized me around the hotel and stuff like that. The night of the Iowa caucuses, I went to a Republican and a Democratic caucus in Mingo, Iowa. And I went with Ken Bodie, the NBC political correspondent, and he picked Mingo for a couple reasons. But anyway, I went out there because I wanted to see what the process was. And we went to, the first one we went to was a Republican one, and there were only about 20 people there. And then after it was over, the chairman of the caucus said, we'd like the members of the press to identify themselves and say hi. And Ken Bodie said, I'm Ken Bodie from NBC News. And Larry Grossman said, I'm Larry Grossman, head of NBC News. And it got to me, and I was like, oh boy, I have no real legitimate reason to be here, and these people are going to think I'm making fun of them. Al Franken, I'm a writer for Saturday Night Live, but honest, I'm not going to make fun of you people. I'm just here because I wanted to see it. And they were all very friendly, even though they were Republicans. They were actually very sweet people.
But let's face it, you really were there to make fun of them.
Don't tell them that. You don't tell them. Well, in good conscience, I decided not to do a sketch on a caucus after making my pledge to them, because I just really wanted to get out of the room.
It must be very frustrating to you to have the writer's strike in progress during primary season.
Yep.
Not much you can do about it, though, huh?
Nope. I was actually on the picket line last week, and they gave me the bullhorn because they thought I might be good on the bullhorn. So I yelled, more money, more money, more money. And one of the soap opera writers rushed up to me and said, don't put it in those terms.
Tomorrow in part two of our conversation, Al Franken talks about his conflicts with network censors, and he runs through a sketch that censors thought too tasteless for television. This is Fresh Air.